Hello, I'm Tom Wilkinson, and welcome to the Thinking in English podcast, a podcast for intermediate to advanced level English learners. Fish and chips is the most iconic and one of the most popular dishes from the United Kingdom. Today, let me give you a detailed explanation of the origins, history, and variations of this classic meal. You can find the full transcript for this episode for free over on my website. The link is in the description. Here is today's vocabulary list. Takeaway. Takeaway. An establishment where prepared food is sold to be eaten somewhere else. For example, many fish and chip shops in the UK operate as takeaways, so you can't eat inside. Fillet. Fillet. A boneless cut or slice of meat or fish. As in a traditional fish and chips, you will get a fillet of white fish. Texture. Texture. The feel or consistency of a surface or substance. As in, cod is popular for fish and chips due to its mild flavour and flaky texture. Batter. Batter. A mixture of eggs, flour and liquid used to coat food before frying, or the process of coating food with such a mixture. For example, the key to the perfect fish and chips is a golden and crispy batter. National dish. National dish. A traditional or iconic dish that is considered representative of a particular country. For example, fish and chips are one of the national dishes of England. Iconic. Iconic. Widely recognized and regarded as a symbol of a particular time, place, or culture. For example, fish and chips is an iconic British meal. Chain restaurant. Chain restaurant. A series of connected restaurants under the same brand or ownership. As in, chain restaurants compete against local fish and chip shops in many regions. When I say British food, what is the first dish that comes to mind? I can guarantee that the majority of you would have said fish and chips. Fish and chips is the national dish of England, or at least one of the national dishes. For many of you outside of the UK, fish and chips may be the only British food that you have even heard of. It is eaten across the country in various different forms and with a number of interesting side dishes. But at the centre of the dish are two consistent and delicious things. Fried fish, usually cod or haddock, and fried potato chips. In my small hometown, there are two fish and chip shops. If you visit the coastal resorts of the UK, you will find even more, maybe six or seven in tiny villages. Some fish and chip shops are full restaurants, allowing you to order your food and sit down while eating. Many are takeaways, serving hot fish and chips, smothered in salt and vinegar, and then wrapped in a large amount of paper to stop the grease from leaking out. There is nothing more British than a portion of fish and chips. It is also perhaps one of the only British dishes regularly sold and available outside of the UK. I now live in a small Japanese city, but just a few minutes' walk from my house is a European-style bar that sells a tasty version of fish and chips. As a child, I was never the biggest fan of fish and chips. If my parents were ordering from the chip shop, I would ask for another dish. Maybe a sausage and chips or a pie and chips. Both of these are classic items on a fish and chip shop menu. However, as I became a teenager and then an adult, I began to appreciate fish and chips and enjoy eating it much more. In fact, one of the first things we ate on our recent trip back to the UK was a portion of cod and chips with a pickled onion and a pot of curry sauce. Today, I'm going to describe the dish of fish and chips to you all and talk about some of the regional varieties and delicious side dishes. I'm then going to explain the history of fish and chips, from Jewish refugees from Spain and Portugal to the modern classic. We'll see how fish and chips became the national dish of the United Kingdom. But let's start with a brief look into what makes the dish, fish and chips, traditional and authentic. This is an important point because I have been thoroughly disappointed before after ordering something called fish and chips on a restaurant menu. This was back in 2017, and one night I was feeling particularly homesick. I decided to go for a late night meal at a popular chain restaurant in the region of Japan I was living in at the time. To my surprise, I saw that they had a limited special item on their menu called fish and chips, and I excitedly ordered it. What arrived, however, was nothing like the dish of fish and chips you would receive in the UK. I was served fried pieces of a strong-tasting oily fish, probably a type of mackerel, served with thin potato chips, what I would call crisps in my native British English. This was the wrong fish and the wrong chips. Yes, it was technically some fried fish served along some chips, but this was not fish and chips. In a traditional fish and chips, the fish must be a fillet of white fish, which is then battered and freshly fried. More specifically, the two most common fish used are cod and haddock. Cod is one of the most popular choices for fish and chips. It has a mild, flaky texture and a subtle flavour that pairs well with the crispy batter. In the south of England, you will tend to find cod is the fish everyone is ordering. Haddock, with a slightly firmer texture and stronger flavour, is also very popular. In fact, cod has become scarcer and more expensive due to years of overfishing around the coasts of the United Kingdom, meaning fish and chip shops will often prefer the slightly cheaper haddock. While cod and haddock are classic choices, other fish like pollock, plaice, or sole may also be used, depending on where you are and the quality of the restaurant. For example, some very high quality fish and chip shops near the coast will fry up whatever fish was caught by the local fisherman that morning. The fish is filleted. This means that there are no bones, making it easier to eat. Sometimes, but not always, the skin is also removed from the fish. My local fish and chip shop is good, but my dad complains every time we order because they leave the skin on the fillet before coating in batter. Now, you have probably heard me use the word batter a few times in this episode. It is both a verb and a noun, and an essential part of fish and chips. Batter is the coating around the fish. It is usually made of eggs, flour, and some kind of liquid. But restaurants and famous chefs like to use beer or even vodka to improve the batter. The fish is fried in hot oil, lard, or beef drippings, which is beef fat, and served golden, crispy, and fresh. Along with the flaky fish, you need some thick-cut and hot chips. Chips are one of the confusing English words that have different meanings in different countries. In the United States, chips usually refers to thin slices of potatoes that are typically deep fried or baked until crispy. These are commonly known as potato chips or simply chips, and these are the snacks you can buy in packets at the convenience store. However, what Americans refer to as potato chips are called crisps in British English. I love British crisps. If you are in the UK, I recommend trying salt and vinegar, cheese and onion, or ready salted flavoured crisps. In the UK, chips almost always refers to what Americans would call fries. The potatoes are cut into thick strips or wedges, giving the chips a substantial and satisfying bite. Some variations may peel the potatoes fully, while others leave the skin on for added texture and flavour. Usually, starchy potato varieties from the UK, like russet potatoes or Maris Piper potatoes, are used because they become crispy when fried, but the inside stays really fluffy. Before frying, the potato pieces are often soaked in cold water to remove excess starch, helping achieve a crispier texture. Often, the chips are fried twice. A first lower temperature fry to cook the inside, and a second higher temperature fry to achieve the desired crispiness. And if you visit trendy pubs and restaurants around the UK, you might even see triple cooked chips on the menu. After frying, the chips are served alongside the fish. In most of the UK, we season fish and chips with quite a lot of salt and vinegar. This is important. I'm always disappointed if they don't use enough salt and vinegar to season the dish. Okay, so now we have the two key elements of our dish: battered fish and crispy chips. But what else do British people enjoy with their meal? Perhaps the most stereotypical accompaniment to fish and chips is mushy peas. Mushy peas are made by cooking green peas until they become soft and mushy. They are often seasoned with mint, salt, and pepper, providing a slightly sweet complement to the fried fish. Although they may look slightly strange, I do recommend trying mushy peas. I quite like them. But personally, instead of mushy peas, I would order a pot of curry sauce. It may surprise you, but curry sauce is actually a popular choice as a condiment for fish and chips, especially in some regions of England and Wales. Chip shop curry sauce is mildly spiced and usually thickened. It is not similar to curry sauces from India, Southeast Asia, or Africa, and is more like a gravy seasoned with curry powder. Some regions, particularly in northern England, serve fish and chips with a generous amount of gravy. The rich and hearty flavour of the gravy adds warmth and depth to the dish. Another classic condiment for fish and chips is tartar sauce. This is a creamy mixture of mayonnaise, chopped pickles, capers, and sometimes herbs, which adds a cool and tangy flavour that complements the fish and chips. I also enjoy ordering something pickled with my fish and chips. On the counter of most chip shops, you will see jars of pickled eggs, onions, and gherkins. I always order a pickled onion. Now you have an extensive description of Britain's national dish. But how did it become such a popular and traditional meal? Fried fish is incredibly popular in England, but it was first introduced to the country by refugees in the 15th and 16th centuries. These refugees were Sephardic Jews, who had lived in Spain and Portugal for centuries. Once that region became Christian, after centuries of Muslim rule, the Sephardic Jews became increasingly persecuted. In 1492, the Spanish monarchy issued the Alhambra Decree. This decree called for all Jewish people in Spain to be expelled. In 1496, the Portuguese king did a similar thing. By the 16th century, there were almost no Sephardic Jews left in the region. They had either converted religion, been executed, or moved somewhere else. While Sephardic Jews ended up settling all across Europe and Asia, a large community found a home in the UK. One of the popular dishes cooked by Sephardic Jews was pescado frito. This was white fish covered in flour and then fried. It was commonly cooked on Fridays, as it was believed the batter coating would keep the fish fresh for Saturday and the Jewish Sabbath. For years, fried fish was associated with the Jewish community living in London's East End. However, it wasn't always a good association. There were apparently negative and anti-Semitic stereotypes and jokes linking Jewish neighbourhoods in London with the smell of fried fish. But over time, the dish of fried fish became increasingly popular. Around the same time the Jewish refugees arrived in London, the potato was being introduced to Europe. While fried potato is often seen as being a French or Belgian dish, it has also been popular in the UK for a few hundred years. Chips were being sold in the north of England in the 1860s, and Belgian immigrants began selling their version of fried potatoes successfully in the UK around the same time. So the fish part of fish and chips was introduced to the UK first by refugees, and the chips element came later once potatoes arrived in Europe. But when did the two, the fish and the chips, become one iconic dish? There is no definite answer to this question. In fact, there is a debate whether London, or Lancashire, in the north of England, was home to the first fish and chip shop. Some people believe that Joseph Mallin, in the year 1860, was the first to sell fried fish and chips in London, when he opened his business selling fried fish in the Jewish fashion. Mallin was an Ashkenazi Jew living in London, but originally from Eastern Europe. Others argue that around the same time, John Lees from Mossley in Lancashire was the first to sell fish and chips, when he opened his store in a wooden hut. In the late 19th century, technological developments in the UK, including steam engines, allowed people to fish much more efficiently. With more fish, and cheaper fish, available due to this new technology, fish and chips quickly became an affordable option for Britain's working class people. By the 1930s, there were thousands of fish and chip shops around the country. It became the most popular meal on Fridays, due to the Christian tradition of eating fish on a Friday. In fact, during World War II, fish and chips was one of the few foods that were not restricted or rationed due to wartime rationing. Fish and chips transitioned to the national dish. Even today, fish and chips is very popular, but it is under competition. If you ask what is the national dish of the UK, many people will say fish and chips. However, a lot of people would say roast beef and Yorkshire puddings. And even more would say chicken tikka masala, an Indian-inspired curry that was created for British tastes. Compared to the early 20th century, there is so much choice in foods and restaurants. In my hometown, a small English market town of about 10,000 people, there are two pizza restaurants, a nice Italian place, four pubs that sell food, three Indian restaurants, three Chinese takeaway restaurants, a Turkish restaurant, and probably some other places I have forgotten about. All of these compete against the town's two fish and chip shops. More than competition, though, the future of fish and chips is threatened by rising costs. Fish is becoming scarcer and more expensive. Energy, especially over the past few years, has also soared in cost. All of this makes it more difficult for businesses to keep prices low and competitive against chain restaurants and cuisines using lower quality produce. Fish and chips is such a simple dish that you can tell when the fish is not good quality. But at the same time, most customers are not going to pay high prices for a dish that they are used to being cheap. Back when I lived in London, I went with a few friends to a fish and chip restaurant and then refused to order fish due to the price. This is actually an important thing to tell all of you listening. London does not have many good options for fish and chips. If you want good and affordable fish and chips, leave London. A lot of people I know visit London and order fish and chips at a pub. Wrong. If you want fish and chips, go to a dedicated fish and chip shop, not a pub. Fish and chips is also supposed to be an affordable dish. In London, however, a single portion of the dish can cost four times more than other parts of the country. The future of fish and chips right now seems to be increasing prices and closing restaurants. Yet the dish remains a classic and something you should all try at least once. So here is today's final thought. Starting with its origins, influenced by Sephardic Jews and the introduction of potatoes to the UK, the dish of fish and chips has evolved into a staple in the British diet and is now recognised by many as the national dish, featuring battered and fried white fish alongside thick-cut chips. With a variety of side dishes and accompaniments, fish and chips is delicious. However, amid a diverse and expanding food scene, fish and chips are encountering challenges like increasing costs and heightened competition. Nevertheless, despite these obstacles, fish and chips retain their status as a classic piece of Britain, offering a taste of British history and culture. But what do you think? Have you ever tried fish and chips? What is your country's national dish? Let me know by leaving a comment. You can comment on Spotify. You can comment on the Thinking in English transcript, right? Linked in the description. Every single transcript for the podcast is free over on my website. You can also see them for free on Spotify as well. If you click the transcript button on Spotify, you can see an AI-generated transcript. I actually got a few messages recently telling me the Spotify transcript was wrong. I can't edit it. It's done automatically by artificial intelligence. If you want a fully accurate transcript, I make a similar one to the Spotify transcript for my Patreon subscribers. But yeah, leave a comment. Or you can reach out to me on Patreon and Instagram and leave comments. I always have a chat thread on my Discord server for Patreon subscribers about each episode. But yeah, thank you all for listening. There was no sponsor for this episode, so go and subscribe to my Patreon. And if you want to sponsor Thinking in English, please reach out to me. I need some more sponsors. Thank you and goodbye.